So we're learning again to empty our vessels, come to God without a desire, with only one wish: reveal thyself. Thy grace will be my sufficiency. I seek no thing. We do not make the mistake of going to God for any material thing, for any material condition. That would be like going to a peach tree and expecting apples. God has no material thing to give us. Spirit gives itself. We don't go to Spirit for material things. We go to Spirit for the realization of Spirit. And then the will of Spirit, the power of Spirit, manifests itself as the fruitage of Spirit. And oftentimes, it will not appear as the thing we had mentally outlined, but it will be what we need. And always, it will be the right thing. This is a great secret. For those who have discovered it, they have learned that this is the way to build a life that glorifies the Father, a life that is independent of the material world. Because whatever the Father makes manifest in your experience is yours. It belongs to you. It can never be taken away. It can survive time and tide, because it is always one with the invisible. It is always there under divine guidance. The health that comes through the Christ, the wealth that comes through the Christ, the harmony, the comfort, the safety, the protection, the love and the wisdom that come through the Christ, being divine, being perfect, being omnipotent, always dissolve all seeming opposition. I am come. And you started out to find peace. You started out to find freedom. I am peace. I am freedom. You started out to find truth. I am the truth. And I am everything you want and need. The wine, the water, and so forth. There is nothing withheld from the eye of your being. And so, repeatedly, Joel reminds us, never go outside the eye. All of the good things, all of the perfect things of God are always present and available in the eye. And now comes a very difficult thing. These things are not available when you are living inside the form. We do not have these things because we are living in the form. They are in the infinite. They are never in the form. They are always outside the form. You say, well, I thought the kingdom of God was within. Yes, but not within the form. Within Christ. And Christ is not in the form. Form is in the mind. Christ is everywhere. The allness of God, the fullness of the glories of Christ are not available to the human form. They only appear, but they always remain as the invisible essence of the Father. Now to live not in the form is the ultimate experience in this work. Let's see if we can capture some awareness of that. As you meditate with mind, you're setting up a barrier. You have the idea that the mind has to be an instrument which contacts the invisible infinite. So there's this mind probing, or trying to be still, trying to do something. Even trying to be still is trying to do something. And although you have come to a place where you manage to be still many times, there are other times when you find you cannot. In the absence of the human mind, you're out of the form. You are the infinite. There is no finite anything. That image called form, which is crystallized in the mind, is gone with that mind. And the infinite is your being, the infinite Christ. A second of that tells you all you have to know, that you must find this infinite Christ which is not in the form. And the only barrier to it is the mind. After you've emptied all the concepts from the mind, there is a moment when you step right out of that mind. And you cannot find yourself for an instant. There simply is no you around. And in that instant, you find the infinite you. And it's a whole new universe. Everything is different. I am come. For I am that infinite Christ that now steps in. Now I speak. Now I pour. Now I flow. Now everything I have is yours. That fellow is gone, and the mind that maintained the fellow is gone. And the only mind there is here now is the mind of God, the Christ mind, the one perfect mind. And it can only manifest the one perfect you. Only in the absence of you is the presence of God. The stone is rolled away. A picture is worth a thousand words. 1 second of I is worth a million pictures. Now, when you learn the importance of I to the extent that you have a conviction that without I am nothing, then your dedicated effort goes to attaining the consciousness of the presence of I. And everything that stands between that consciousness of that presence and your realization of the infinite is cut away with a double-edged sword of truth and spirit. Again and again and again, you cleanse the temple. You remove the concepts until you can truthfully say, I am in that state of total unknowing. I know not what to ask for, what to pray for, what to request, what to seek. I am eyeless. I am mindless. I am that invisible self, an empty vessel, totally dependent on what the Father pours forth. And then patiently wait. That is abiding. That is trusting. That is faith. That is standing in the secret place. Not as a mortal, not as a person, but as the perfect Son of God, accepting your Father's presence where you are. You see, you could never be an imperfect Son of God. There is no imperfect child of God. Every imperfection you declare says, I am not that child, whereas you are. And because you are, you must remove the belief in the presence of every evil on this earth. You must see all evil as a coat worn by the human mind. Step out of that coat. Let it fall to the ground. It is nothing but a universal image of evil. As long as the belief in evil still exists in your mind, you will experience it. When you realize that is only the Antichrist world mind functioning through you, using you, channeling through you to express its own Antichristhood, you will catch on to the fact that you have been used as a channel for what is called a serpent. You have been like a parrot saying, this is wrong and that is wrong, and it is the serpent talking. Not you at all, but the false sense of self. It takes quite a lot of love of God to be able to deny the imperfections you've lived with all your lives. But if your love of God is greater than your love of your false sense of self, you lay down your beliefs. You trust the presence of God. You accept the presence of God. And your acceptance is the rejection in your mind of every imperfection that you know. This is your acceptance of sonship in spite of the appearance that denies it. Well, perhaps at this point we have a leg in the door. Now let's see what else Joel has to say. There is not I, the Father, and I, the Son. Well, he's just full of shocks today. There is not I the Father and I the Son. Now we have to dwell on that until it has a meaning for us. Because he is revealing infinite wisdom. If there were I the Father and I the Son, that would be like an ocean over here and the waves somewhere else. The waves have to be where the ocean is because the waves are the ocean. There is not five fingers plus a hand. The hand and the five figures are one. God the Father and God the Son are one. And so what he's telling us is that there is not you and God. There is not you and Christ. There's not two, there's not three. There's one. And the one that isn't here. Only the one that is here. In our realization of the all-presence of God, we step out of the mind that entertains the concept of form, and we stand as that invisible presence. There is not God and my material form. There is not God and your material form. There is not God and matter. The mind which maintains its concept of a material universe is yielded. And then I, the Christ mind, step forth. And you are living in the paradise of spirit. The trees are still visible, but you're conscious of the essence of the tree. There's still birds chirping all over the place, but you're conscious of the essence that the world is calling the bird. No one takes away the vegetation or the sun, but you are conscious of something that no one else can see. You're living in your infinite, invisible universe, where there isn't God and mortal beings. You're in the infinite presence that the world is seeing as a visible mortal being. But that image of you in the visible is no longer under the law of matter. It is now under the law of your resurrected consciousness. I have come that ye may have life and have it more abundantly. I, the vine, have made you one with a husbandman. And in your new consciousness, your accepted identity, the law of perfection expresses its omnipotence in that visible image which the world calls you. The light reveals itself as the divine image and likeness made manifest. Now we still may dwell on the idea of a Trinity, but we're learning that there is only the one. Just as the tree of life was the only tree, and the human concept of it established a tree of good and evil. So there is only God, and concepts of God established God the Father and God the Son as two, but they are one. And the Master told us, I and the Father are one. Thou seest me, the Son, thou seest the Father, for we are one. In fact, that is the secret of I and the Father are one. And when you find I in you, you and the Father are one. Then that presence you have accepted as the only is the one which governs all that appears as you. Unless we are in this one, this I, unless we have taken the time in consciousness to dwell there, in truth, knowing the presence is all that is here, doesn't matter who I see or where I go, they are the invisible presence made visible. To that invisible presence you remain true, and it remains true to you. Then you find it, you have your employment, you have your harmony, you have your supply. My grace appears as your sufficiency. As long as you abide in me, in I, and abiding does not tolerate interruptions, does not tolerate exceptions. Abiding is a permanent state of consciousness. All you have to do is take your eye off the wheel for 10 minutes, or 3 seconds sometime, and you know that you aren't abiding. Well, it's the same way in spirit. Eye on the wheel. Consciousness on I, Christ. Or we become just bouncing bits of protoplasm back in a world of forms that have no law to govern. In John 10:10, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Now who is this thief who comes to destroy? If I am the vine who goes to the Father, then the thief must be that false thought of the world, which we think is our thought. It identifies the illness, and we say, Amen. It identifies the imperfection, in fact, puts it out as an image in our thought, and we say, Yes, there it is. That's the thief who comes to destroy. And unless you're in the eye, the thief is your thinking mind. It isn't a matter of choice. It's an automatic thing. The thief is your thinking mind unless you're in the eye. And so I takes us out of world thought. And unless you're in I, you're in world thought. Unless you choose I, you're in the world thought of good and evil, of imperfection, and relative grades of betterment. You're in the world that's always trying to become what already is. Now, it may seem strange at first to say there's nothing wrong, because you know there are millions of things wrong to the appearance of I. But that's the thief saying these things are wrong. The ever-presence of the Spirit means the ever-presence of perfection. And there is no power to remove perfection. Nor is there a need to improve perfection. Perfection is the reality that is ever present right where the thief or the world mind is seeing something else. And if you love God supremely, you are accepting the ever-presence of His perfection, even though the thief would try to rob you of the truth. And then when I am accepted instead of the thief, when divine self is accepted instead of mortal self, you're not a channel for the world mind, and I then become your life more abundant. Always, the life more abundant is in the rejection of that world thought which controls the human mind, which even disguises itself as the human mind. The goal of life, says Joel, on page 29, has to be the attaining of God's presence, meaning spiritual identity. There is no way to get things separate and apart from the presence of God, not spiritual things. There is no way to live harmoniously except by grace. And such a conviction brings you to the point of transition from the metaphysical life of taking thought, of demonstrating peace, safety, security, prosperity, and happiness, even though those things may appear desirable. It takes you to the mystical consciousness of demonstrating instead the presence of the grace of God, which is the only legitimate demonstration on the spiritual path. Now, the difference then would be that in demonstrating the grace of God, it is not you determining what that grace should manifest. Instead of seeking the safety, you're seeking the grace. Instead of seeking protection, you're seeking the grace. Always, you're not seeking the thing or condition, you're seeking the grace and letting the grace manifest in its own way. And in case you haven't really caught on to this, we'll put it in very straight language. It is saying, do not live your life. Do not seek material things. As long as you seek material things, you're not seeking God. As long as you are living your life, you're not letting I, the Christ, live your life. These are harsh truths, but as long as we live our own lives, we may as well face it. Christ isn't living our lives, and only Christ goes to God. As long as we seek material things, we're putting up barriers, because the God of Spirit has none to give us. First, you must be willing to release God from doing your will, from fulfilling your desires, from changing or improving any phase of your humanhood, regardless of how difficult the situation may seem. You will really not be releasing God, though. You will be releasing your concept of God, which never had any possibility of fulfilling your desires. You'll find that on page 29. In the mystical eye. As we ask our concept of God for this, that, and the other thing, we're told we have no chance of it being fulfilled. We've all learned that to our sorrow, of course. Now, the word I is used by the Spirit for a very beautiful reason. When you say God, it conjures up a picture in your mind. When you say I, from the spiritual level, you have no graven image in your mind. You have no form. You have no man. I. There is no image barrier there. And so Spirit has given us I for that reason. The I of you and the I of your friend and the I of your mother and the I of your sister are all the same I. Everywhere on this earth today, I am. It doesn't matter where you're looking, I am there. This must be your constant awareness. In fact, there's cause for rejoicing when you know that God's perfection is everywhere, that it can never be removed, that all that is on this earth is the activity and presence of God. This in your consciousness is a possible realization. It is the kind of realization that will never accept any form of error as a reality, as a substance, as a presence, as something that has to be reckoned with. That is what is meant by ridding ourselves of concepts. That capacity to be without mortal thought about a mortal universe. That's the condition required for I to enter. It says that whoever tries to enter another way into the sheepfold is a robber. In other words, with your human mind, you cannot embrace the fullness of God. With your human mind, you cannot embrace the presence of God. With your human mind, you twist and turn to find words and thoughts, some magic button. But it does not dissolve the human conditions. I, in the midst of you, do dissolve the human conditions. And so, originally, wherever and whenever it happened that truth beckoned to you, it has now taken you to a mountaintop called I. It says to you, I, who stand before you, can never be seen by a human eye, but I am standing here now. I am invisible, but I am mighty. And I am the presence of God on earth that men call the Christ. And you have up to now considered yourself to be that person who wears your face and your name and your body. But now, let it be revealed to you that you are I. You are an invisible being. And your invisible self is the divine image and likeness of God. I am come. You can accept me or reject me. You can be a branch on the tree of life, or one separated from the Father by your unwillingness to accept I. And then accept me as the identity of mother, brother, father, sister, son, nephew, and niece, the identity of enemy and neighbor, For God is individually manifest as the invisible eye everywhere, and there is no other. Then you have the universe of God. Omniscience flows through that universe, through I. Omnipotence expresses all that omniscience says is necessary. And that omniscience and that omnipotence is present everywhere at every moment. For I am everywhere. Now include yourself. For that I is you, and I is your omnipotence, your omniscience, your omnipresence. And if you stay within these three, never venturing into the belief that you are not omniscient, not omnipresent, not omnipotent, you will find you have the working tools to walk with God, to live in the kingdom, to experience the grace, to bear witness to the perfection that abounds all around you. The witness never tells the Spirit what to do, but has total trust that Spirit will always perform in the divine image and likeness. If within you there is a conviction rising that every imperfection you may know is but a shadow of thought which you have accepted unknowingly or unwillingly, now is the time to step out of that shadow into I, into identity, into Christ, into the everywhereness of God, which has never permitted evil to exist in its perfect universe, which has never made a world other than its perfect world. And know that whatever was not created by God cannot be your true condition, ever. Let it fall away from your beliefs like a coat. Step out of it. Lose it in your understanding. And you will find I will come forth and take over the rest. Setting up an I with some problem, that is a personal I with a problem, a desire, a need to be fulfilled, is setting up a selfhood apart from God. And this is a denial of the Master's teaching. The moment that you take thought, you are living your own life. So to pray, to have in mind anything or any condition that you want from God, is to create the barrier which separates you from it. Because there's no God separate from you, and that you, which is not separate from God, has no problem. It would do well for us all to reread John 10 and John 15. John 10 is the I am come. John 15 is I am the vine. And in it we are given the opportunity to lay down our mortal sense of life with its imperfections, to realize that only immortal life with its perfection is present through I. Nowhere around you is there evil or error or imperfection. It exists only as a superimposed suggestion. Its perpetuation is based completely upon the mind which accepts it. And that same mind that accepts it is the mind that has posed for all these centuries as the human mind. A mind with no validity. That very mind which accepts it is the mind through which it was channeled in the first place. As you overcome that mind and stand in the Christ mind, which is the only mind present, you will discover you have borne an imperfection all these years that never existed in God. Now we're going to have some of these experiences in greater abundance as the I that has come takes over among us. That will prepare us for the greater works. The works in which I, in the midst of us, expresses that perfection which is always present, but so little experienced by mortal belief. The time is coming for us all to see that resurrection is a living experience here and now. We are all being resurrected out of mortality, out of the false beliefs in the imperfections that surround us, into the ever-present reality of perfection. And this will not be done in your mortal body. It will be done in your Christ body and then made manifest where the mortal body appears to be. Your Christ mind functions in the Christ body. Your mortal mind functions in the mortal body. As you step out of the mind that is not, you will find you are really stepping out of the body that is not into the acceptance of the body that is and the mind that is into the temple not made with hands. This is our preparation for that temple. If you will take with you that wherever you go, God is being God, you'll find a great power functioning in your consciousness. God is being God everywhere now. There is no place you can go where God is not being God. There's no such place on the earth. In consciousness, you must work with this. Till Spirit says Amen. You will find you may be on the threshold of a great inner discovery. I Am the Way is next week. I Am Come. I Am the Door. I knock at the door of your consciousness. And as you let me in, I become the door through which you move into the many mansions. And your guide is again I, for I am the way. And I will go before you. We will walk with the Father. That is I Am Come, the 10th chapter of John and the 3rd chapter in the Mystical Eye. Thanks very much.